The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to Zoomed Leadership with your host, John Schmidt. This program will take you behind the scenes and deepen your understanding about the patterns and perspectives of leadership today. Now, here's your host, John Schmidt.
Well, hello. Welcome, everyone, again to this week's edition of Zoomed Leadership. I am, of course, your host, John Schmidt. And again today, as most Mondays for the last 3 years, I'll be taking you out to the big picture, into the up close and personal, and toward a world of desirable futures, those rich, as I always like to say, with the essence of constant renewal. Well, it is great to be back. It is another stunning day to be alive, another I think Mother Earth is offering up just another beautiful day of sunshine, splendor, where I am here on the Gulf of Mexico in Florida. Today, the wind is full and brisk. I'm looking at white caps and a flag on the peninsula across the way, across the bay here, just sort of flag straight out. It's all rich, I would say, with the warmth of a budding springtime growth, and I think all of it apt and appropriate as the backdrop for the era of extraordinary change we are in and the cycle of new societal transformation that seems so much, as we talk about on Zoomed, it seems to be in motion with us now. Last week I introduced the notion of leadership and an edge, and I have more on that coming on future shows. And moreover, last week I made some comparison and analogy to our investing in the zone, where we become free of the shackles of the past and yesterday's moment, and free to be in the now moment, as we talked about, as it arises on the three journeys of our experience: in presence, with presence, and ultimately as presence. Just the way we can find ourselves, I think, emerging, as we were talking about last week, with the market or with other dimensions of our exterior lives, with that increasing realization of unity that is what we are. In trading, as we talked about last week, we can become one with the world as the market. We can know the market directly. We can be the market and know the market in the moment and then take action accordingly. And that realization of the zone, as we were talking about last week, of living as the unity of life, as presence, of course, I think it takes, and we pointed to it last week, it takes time, it takes attention, it takes development, it takes a journey, and it takes working through and clearing from the radar, as we were talking about, the binding patterns and confines of the ego and the commanding self, just as we were talking about last week in trading. It is, as we've been talking about on leadership and Zoomed for quite some time. Today, though, we continue this up close and I think this personal journey. And I think we're bringing forward more reflections on wisdom and leadership. That is our show title today. And I think we're going to benefit, as you will today, from what I think will be the rich experience of Tony Samara, spiritual teacher, author of the book Shaman's Wisdom. Tony is the teacher of of Zen Buddhist philosophy, and he's the author of several books, including From the Heart, Different Yet the Same, Deeper Than Words, and much more. And there are many important messages from Shaman's Wisdom, as I even reflected on it over the weekend, which presents very simple and I think practical ways that shamanic knowledge can be brought into the life and to the lives we lead in the Western world. Knowledge that Tony's learned and experienced in his path of initiation with the ancient important traditions of First Peoples of South America. And by way of a little introduction, Tony grew up in Egypt and Norway, spent time at the Mount Baldy Center in California, for those of us here in the U.S., explored the essence of the spirituality and that realm via some highly influential shamans of the Amazon River region and the Andes Mountains. He's now living in Europe. That's where we're talking from with him today, from northern Germany. He's got widespread dissemination of teachings. You'll find him on the web, and you'll find him teaching in many realms. Tony, it is an absolute pleasure to have you on Zoom with us today.
Thank you. I'm very happy to be speaking to you and all your listeners. It's a wonderful day today.
It is a wonderful day. And maybe, Tony, to start with this, as I was saying before the show started, I'm really trying to link the show and our through line on leadership to the realizations, the teachings, your experience in the Andes and in the Amazon. But start off with, just as a context, before I even ask you some more personal questions, why is it relevant, do you think, for us to recognize these teachings and these ways of living that you discovered in the Amazon and the Andes?
Well, that's a complex question, but I feel that we often think we're separate human beings, separate from everything, separate from, you know, nature, the experience of life, from what is going on around us, because we're so self-focused. And I don't mean that in a negative way, but that tends to create a limitation. And I feel that the ancient wisdoms that have been passed on for many, many generations, even in the European tradition, not just in ancient cultures such as the Amazon, highlight the fact that it's important to be connected, to be at one. And I feel when there is that sense of oneness, that sense of understanding, comprehension, then it's much easier to be clear about decisions that one needs to make to create real value in life for oneself and for everyone around. So it's a matter of moving beyond that sense of separation to that sense of more complete oneness.
Tony, I think you've just described well what I think is a mirror to part of our discussion that we were describing as journeys last week. So it's a wonderful natural bridge without even you having any idea of it. And I'm curious, and I know some of the listeners that I've spoken to about you coming on have also been curious with the context of this unity and what you found and experienced. What actually led you there? How did you end up going to Mount Baldy and then to South America and to these realms? What, you know, in terms of your own journey and that opening into a more of a unitive experience, how did that path open for you?
I think everyone has a deep curiosity as to why are things the way they are. And for me, I basically fulfilled a lot of the basic needs that most people perhaps struggle in life trying to fulfill for whatever reasons. I was born into a fairly wealthy family, so my basic needs were discovered, and I started to look deeper into the meaning of existence and questioning why things are as they are. And I think that is a natural inclination of every human being once certain aspects are satisfied, once you feel comfortable enough to go beyond the basic survival. And that is basically what led me to go much deeper into the world than is normal. Also, I had the privilege of traveling around and experiencing different perspectives of life. My family were diplomats, and so I was able to look at the world from so many different perspectives. It opened my mind to the idea that the world isn't always as we believe it to be. There is much more to it. And that led me to travel and to work with people who, for me, felt as if they knew something that was difficult to put into words, but was obvious from their way of living and their way of being. And, yeah, that one experience led to another, and I've traveled and seen and communicated to remarkable people around the world.
And, Tony, on the journey, then, your own personal journey, and moving toward the experience that you've described in Shaman's Journey and some other of your works. You described that journey for you as certainly having some challenge, and I think as a, in terms of some of the actual practices that you're engaging down there, it sounds like you were ill at times as your body was cleansing and transforming. What was that like in being in the midst of that? Because I know that we talk much about this on Zoom, about these journeys. There's a developmental path. We're in the midst of it. But what was that actually like for you down in the Andes or in the Amazon in particular? And the actual experience of that?
The experience is difficult because, you know, it's not like the movies. You know, it's not, you know, just so easy to deal with the practicalities of living, for example, in the Amazon forest. It's a harsh environment. It's not paradise that people think it may be. It's complicated, and to live there and to be part of a culture that is so different requires that you really change and drop all your belief systems and integrate what is around you in a way that is very, very different. You know, I didn't go there as a tourist. I didn't go there as an outsider. I was actually living with people that believed and practiced a way of living that is alien to most Western minds. And one of the things that I found myself experiencing was a cleansing process. And this cleansing process is a physical cleansing. So, you know, when you are separate or afraid of being complete in your experience, there is a tendency that the body also holds on to that pattern. So the cleansing experience was letting go of emotional toxins, belief systems that were limited in a very physical way. And this is a natural way of healing in the Amazon forest, where you use natural medicine such as herbs and diet to make sure that the body is free and relaxed enough to experience much more than the old belief systems. I know that sounds very esoteric, but you know, if you are holding on to an idea of I can't do something, I can't live my life in a certain way, it has a emotional and physical impact, and this is important to work with. The native people are very down to earth, and they work with the basics, and the physical body is seen as a very important structure that holds on to many aspects of who you are, the physical, the emotional, the spiritual, the mental, the energetic. And that was my first experience, you know, to let go of the many, many emotional limitations that I had experienced as a child, that every human being experiences growing up in a world where things sometimes are not so easy, and learning how to let them go so that I would open to a more functional belief system.
Fabulous, Tony. I think that really is helpful to get, I mean, get us started in that. And I'd like to pick up a little bit more on the experience of beliefs and transcending and transforming beliefs that you're talking about. I hear the music in the backdrop here, Tony. Let's honor that real quickly. Let's take a short break and come back. And I'd like to continue with the beliefs and even get some more reflection on the essence and the central nature of some of the teachings out of a tradition that we're not as familiar with here in the West. But let's do that when we come back, folks. Short break. Tony Samara with us today. I think a delightful conversation, as you can already tell. Tony is so present and so direct and authentic with a simple sense of just being, and that's what I've so appreciated when I've seen Tony be with us before. Great to have Tony. Great to have you here on the show with that whole feeling and sense of you. Come back in a moment, folks. We'll continue with our conversation today. More on Zoomed, wisdom in leadership, our focus, learning from more and expanded traditions than we might be aware of. Come back in a moment, folks.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network. The Zoomed Leadership Conversation today, as well as shows both past and upcoming, are intended to illuminate perspectives on the great transition in motion, the extraordinary era of change that is affecting all of our personal lives, our organizations, our communities, and our governing institutions. Big shifts are happening, and more are coming. Some can be foreseen, but many are outside current paradigms of thought. All, however, ultimately will be shaped by new and expanding forms of leadership, capable of holding the widest possible views and the deepest forms of interconnection. Join Zoomed host John Schmidt weekly as he rides the rising wave of intelligence, moving us all toward a world of immense potential, dynamism, and economic, social, and environmental renewal. Zoomed is sponsored in part by Avastone Consulting, a source point for development of leadership and organizational resilience and sustainability for the last 25 years. Find John and his colleagues at Avastone via avastoneconsulting.com. There's a course offered on Seventh Wave Network that you never saw offered in college. One that provides information on how to transform ancient wisdom teachings into everyday life. You'll learn how to create from your spirit and explore the world with all of your senses. Participation is encouraged. Enroll in Spirituality 101, the course you can't afford to miss, with your host, Reverend Norma. Classes in session every Friday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, 12 noon Pacific Time, in your favorite classroom, Seventh Wave Network.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
You're listening to Zoomed Leadership with your host, John Schmidt. For more information about John and our program, visit avastoneconsulting.com. That's A-V-A-S-T-O-N-E consulting.com. Now, back to Zoomed Leadership.
Okay, back on Zoom today, Tony Samara, our guest. We are really considering reflections on wisdom and leadership and the shamanic recognitions that can support our journeys in presence and ultimately as presence. And Tony was pointing to the nature, and we were speaking just for a minute in the break, about beliefs. And can you say a little bit more about your experience there and your own sense of the emerging recognitions of beliefs and working through and identifying and transcending beliefs into a more full sense of unity, as you so describe in your books?
Yes. I think belief systems are one of the most important things to truly understand for any human being, but also for a leader. I feel that if you don't understand your belief systems, then it's very difficult to portray or authentically portray anything that people can believe in. And, you know, I grew up in such an environment that was strongly seeing the world in a very specific way. And being with native people and being with cultures that see things in such a different way is quite a challenge. It's almost like it turns your world upside down, and you begin to really question if those belief systems are real. Are they coming from, you know, your real experience, or are they just belief systems that fit into the structure of socializations and the paradigms that you have grown up by? And, you know, when you get to that point, you really have to find another anchor than the belief systems. You can't just do things because you judge the situation to be what it is, you know, good or bad or useful or not useful. You have to really look much more deeply. And that is what I was challenged to do with what I would call wise people. You know, they are not pretending to be anything. They are themselves. And so when that challenge was thrown out at me, I really had to drop some old belief systems, and I feel that is relevant in the world today, that, you know, when we drop those old belief systems like I did, it allows for you to look for something inside of yourself, I call the heart or the authentic self or the real self, that guides you much more, and that is much more in tune with the realness that is around, and you are able to see the world and portray things from a space that is much more clear, much more centered, and much more down to earth. And I feel that is not just an individual thing, but also a cultural thing, that the world today has seen nature or our surrounds, time, as quite separate in a very dualistic way, quite separate from our experience, and we are not really connected with what is going on. We are observing from a space which I call the ego, where you're just standing a little bit further away from the moment of the experience, and you're saying, okay, this is like that, and that is like this, and whatever, and we just get confused by our judgment or our belief systems, because, for example, in the world today, we see nature as alien to our experience, so we set it aside, and we say, okay, there is nature, but we can utilize nature to drill or mine for whatever wealth we need so that we can cover and fulfill those expectations that the mind has of what is really of value. But then we realize that that value is not really valuable, because perhaps money and wealth and materialism has its place. But in the end, you know, it's how we approach nature and how we approach reality that allows for the true value of the experience to have meaning. And I feel that all comes down to belief systems, and those belief systems are changing today. I think the economy and the culture that we're living in at the moment is realizing that it's not sustainable. What we're going through now is not sustainable, and we're challenged to change. And there are many individuals that are changing and are becoming the leaders of the future, because they're allowing for something more real to be experienced by the people that they're leading, or inside of themselves first, and then as an example to others. They create that sense that, yes, this is possible. This is a wonderful possibility to change the old and to give birth to the new and what is possible.
And Tony, that, and part of this, and many of the people you're describing, I think many listeners of our show are really those that are stepping into the feeling of change and examining the beliefs and feeling them. And in that process, some of the foundations then of the ground that we have built our whole sense of living on starts to shudder. Starts to shake and starts to rattle. And I'm wondering, from your experience and in the teachings and in the sense of even the traditions and some of the first peoples, any sense that or guidance that you might offer to those that are feeling that shuddering effect, and then as their beliefs are fading and they're feeling that place of void and no ground, how, in fact, do they, you might suggest that they, or we generally, sort of live into that most rigorously?
I think the only way is to trust the unknown and to believe that, you know, what is easy, what we're used to doing, isn't always the answer to the challenges that are today really important to deal with. And to trust the unknown is quite a difficult thing when it comes to practical everyday living. You know, it's not an idea to trust the unknown, meaning, for example, if you lose your job, it's difficult to say, okay, I trust the unknown and I will see what will happen. The first step, I believe, is to make sure that you believe in yourself, that you believe that that unknown space holds value, and that you don't have to hold on to something else to give value to the possibility of something really happening, for example, a job materializing. And when you have that trust of the unknown, it is like quantum physics speaks about. There is potential, and that unknown space activates the possibilities that we are unable to comprehend or unable to see in the moment when we're stuck in the old, when we're stuck, for example, in the fear that if we let go of a belief system, then there is nothing that will help us to move forward. And there is always something that comes up when we really need to change. But we have to create that space inside of ourselves to allow the new to come in. And that means letting go of the old. And one way I've found that is very useful is to be aware of the body, because the body is, you know, grounded to the reality of the experience. So if there is stress, or if there is fear, or if there is a sense of unease about the situation, you can start working with it in a very concrete way, using the body as your guide. And I say, relax the breath, relax the body, and open up to the experience, relax so much inside of the body so that the stress or the anxiety of having to deal with the challenge is dropped, and there is a sense of excitement about the change, about the possibilities that become manifest as soon as there is that excitement. When we're afraid or contracted or limited in our belief systems, there is no space for anything else. When we let go of those and we are feeling the joy of, wow, this may be possible or that may be possible, then those experiences are invited to become real and tangible. And we find that the universe and people around us and our culture supports us in a very real and tangible way. And I would say, always come back to the body, always relax the body so that there is a flow of energy inside of the physical body that then allows the mind and the emotions to follow through in that experience.
And Ted, we've had another guest on, Ted Usatinsky, who's talked about the importance, Tony, of the body and actually regulating and getting into our body so that we're not outside our body in the sort of the fight or flight or contraction, that we bring that into the place where we can be open. And I hear that's what you're really talking about, is the openness to not knowing when we don't have our beliefs, just the openness to the possibility of what might dynamically unfold for us.
Exactly. Yeah. That's right. And the problem is, in our culture, we're taught always to know something and to follow that idea that what we know is the only way forward. And the unknown is a very difficult concept for most Western people.
Mm. Yes, and that's actually why I was choosing last week to talk about something that is sort of the practical dimension of the West, which is investing and trading in markets, and how, in fact, we can't know what is going on in the markets. We think we know, and we listen to people in the pundits daily telling us what's happening and why and what's going to happen, but the reality of it is, just like in life, just like in the markets, we can't know that. That is such a difficult thing to feel into and live into, Tony, and maybe say some more about that not knowing, because that seems to be part of the sense of leadership, of not knowing, and the paradox of not knowing so we can then act and know in some other way.
Exactly. You know, if you look at Steve Jobs, you know, when it comes to Apple computers, I think, you know, perhaps, I don't know the person, but, you know, perhaps he followed a sense of knowingness that went beyond what was known, and so created a possibility that no one else was able to see, and it created Apple computers. And I think, you know, spirituality has to be put into practice in a very tangible way for it to be real. It can't just be an idea. You have to put it into your daily practice. So if you are working as a leader or in the stock market or in business, you know, it's not enough to say, you know, I'm spiritual, and then in your practice of business to be unable to follow that more creative space that allows for amazing changes to happen, amazing possibilities to manifest. And I feel when you trust the unknown, what you're trusting is not an empty space or, you know, a space that is zero, but rather you're trusting a space that has creative potential, and the unknowingness allows you to see things from a neutral perspective. So you don't have, oh gosh, I have to worry that I may lose my money because I'll invest in the wrong thing. So I have to listen to every person and what they say and how they say and what they believe in. And you can follow your own deep sense of knowingness by going into the unknown. But you can't go into the unknown with a preconception. It has to be from a space of neutrality. And that is, I believe, what Steve Jobs did. You know, he had a clear feeling as to what needs to happen for him to create a computer revolution that now is very tangible for everyone to see. But, you know, how did he actually create that in the beginning? He must have trusted something that was very different from...
And hold on that just a minute, Tony, because I want to pick up on that. I don't want to lose that. It is trusting into something, and that's where I want to pick up. I hear the music in the backdrop here as a signal. Tony, let's take a short break, folks. Let's come back. Let's pick up this trusting into something more deeply that allows this creative potential to emerge. Coming back with Tony in just a moment. John Schmidt here on Zoomed. Great to be with you today. Back in a moment, folks.
Stocks, bonds, investment opportunities, financial news, and talk. We can help. Call us now toll-free, 866-472-5790. 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
Zoomed Leadership is sponsored in part by Cosmos Journal, the journal for world citizens creating the new civilization. More than just a publication, Cosmos is committed to informing, inspiring, and engaging the world in the transition to an emerging, sustainable, just, and compassionate global culture and civilization that works for all. For over 10 years, Cosmos has been a leading voice that tracks the deep systemic transformations already occurring at the margins of society as our institutions prove unable to serve the needs of the times. Published twice a year in print and digital, Cosmos includes leading-edge articles from social change leaders on the global commons, people power, global governance, new economics, collective intelligence, and cultivating the self. The impact of these paradigm-changing ideas is enhanced through stunning visuals and photographic stories that motivate to action. Start exploring Cosmos Journal and continue opening your perspectives about leadership and the emerging great transition at cosmosjournal.org. Join the Cosmos Leaders of Change and make a difference today. These days, everyone is looking for information on staying young, healthy, and fit. The Voice America Health and Wellness Network is here to help you on your quest to better health and a better you. We talk about everything from diet, fitness, and aging to substance abuse, personal growth, mental health, and much more. Learn from our experts who cover health and wellness from traditional and holistic perspectives. Tune in to the Voice America Health and Wellness Network. Healthy living starts here.
From the boardroom to you, Voice America Business Network.
You're listening to Zoomed Leadership with your host, John Schmidt. For more information about John and our program, visit avastoneconsulting.com. That's A-V-A-S-T-O-N-E consulting.com. Now, back to Zoomed Leadership.
Okay, back today, Tony Samara, Wisdom and Leadership. I point you also to Tony's recent book, Shaman's Wisdom. You can download it from the web onto one of your ebook applications. I think you'll find a delight really an ease to really engage in it as well. But Tony, let me go back, because I think we were on to just an important through line here that I was introducing more broadly through the through lines of Zoomed overall, the not knowing. I was doing it more last week. Let's talk a little bit more, if you could, about this not knowing and opening that potential, and then how this spiritual experience starts to intersect, not as something separate from our life, but the actual center of our life and integration in our life.
Yes, I do feel that, you know, people are afraid of letting go of what they know. And, you know, fear is the number one thing that really stops anyone from moving forward. But once you've overcome that fear, then the next step is, you know, the deep trust that we were speaking about. And in that deep trust, I feel that space... reality around us has what I call intelligence. There is a sense of creativity. There is a sense of purpose that we can connect to that is the basis of all life forms It's what holds and sustains the movement of the planets. It's a creativity that allows for everything to happen in the way it happens. Life is such a miracle if we realize, you know, how things function, our bodies, the galaxies, the universe, the stars. It's such an amazing miracle. And that miracle can be experienced in our actions, but we need to be open to that universal wisdom or that creativity by trusting in the unknown. Because if we have an idea or a concept that interferes with that more expanded creative space, then we don't allow for that flow and that information to be transmitted into our actions. And I can bring, you know, a very tangible example of this. I was reading Einstein was struggling with one of those formulas to, he was trying to understand a chemical formula. And, you know, he just could not understand with his mind what was going on, even though, people say he was a genius. So he listened to a deeper aspect of the mind, which was his dreams. And in his dreams, he saw the picture of how this chemical structure was really how it was, and so created an amazing new invention about, you know, a structure that was very difficult to understand. And I feel that is what we have to trust, that more etheric, more unknown space that allows for information to be transmitted, and then we make that tangible in our minds or in our bodies and act out that information in a way that becomes useful for ourselves or for our community or for the people that we're working with. If we are scientists or poets or artists, you know, we can experience that unknowingness in a very tangible way and allow that information to be transmitted in a very down-to-earth, practical way that then creates a value system for humanity that is amazing. It creates the potential for new information to be transmitted, because once we are in that flow, once we are connected to that universal wisdom, then that expansion just gathers a certain momentum and we feel more at ease with that unknown space and so can interact with that unknown space much more easily. And that is what I think all great people, all great leaders have done. They've touched upon something beyond themselves, and that space they have been able, like no one else, and been able to transmit it or communicate it or show it in new inventions, in new ideas, in inspirations that create a whole new sense of, wow, humanity is moving forward so quickly. It's so amazing. It's the same feeling that you get when you look at the miracle of life. People are able to transmit that information in the same way. And I feel that every human being has that potential, but it just takes a lot of work to get to that point. And, of course, you know, anyone who's a leader is used to hard work. So I think that challenge then is easy. And it's just a matter of taking those first steps and being dedicated enough and strong enough to believe that that information is useful.
And Tony, you're really making a great point here and pointing to this up close and personal, this interior view, this direct contactfulness in the moment. And leadership so often is described as the work that we do in the world to mobilize others and engage others and to do the real work, the adaptive work that's needed. But what you're really describing here, and I really wanted to slow this down, is this directness, and it's the moment, it's within, it's that inner space of creative opening and expansion and the direct contactfulness and direct knowing with this universal intelligence that starts to and begins to open this infinite realm of new potential and thinking from Steve Jobs to others. Is that some way I can reflect? I'm not using your words exactly, but is that sort of the space that you're really describing?
Exactly, and I feel that is very, very important today, because the challenges that we face today require much more clear thinking than the thinking that has been or is prevailing today or has prevailed in the past.
And so, you know, we talk about it a lot, and I use the language a lot that, you know, leadership is understanding what is really going on, and we go about doing something about it. But you're really describing that the key dimension we have here is what is really going on starts first with this interior space. And that begins to point us to the intersection that I started to open this segment with, that spirituality really isn't separate. This inner space and the depth of our inner space and depth of our contactfulness and recognizing who and what we are really is at the center point and the integration to being in the world. And maybe you can say a little bit more about that. I know you've spoken to that, you've written about that some, but that seems like a point that for us to spend some time on today.
Exactly. I feel that there is no separation. The outside, the inside, the idea of dualism is very interesting. It's helped us to evolve to who we are today. But to go further, to be more creative, we have to understand the inner world much more clearly, much more deeply. And by understanding the inner world, we actually understand the outer world, because the inner world is a reflection of the outer world. And I feel that if we are in harmony with that inner world, then that reflection outside becomes much more harmonious. And that inner world is essential for all human beings, but it is even more essential for leaders, and leaders who have been practicing leadership for many years. Because we get to a point where we are looking at ourselves as we deal with the outside, we're dealing with the inside. And I feel that is something that is not really understood in the world today, because the inside, the inner world, has been often the realm of religions and spirituality that is seen as different from the everyday practicalities that we have to deal with. But in actual fact, you know, when you look at schools like universities, we know that by people, by experiments that people have done, meditation or relaxation or inner growth techniques, when this is put into practice, it actually helps to create an intelligence that allows for more creative solutions and actually increases the IQ of people to a point where they're able to deal with practical matters in a much more interesting way. So there is no difference between the inner realm and the outer realm, and it is not for human beings to go just to the inner realm and focus only on that and forget the outer realm, or, as we have been doing in the past, to just focus on the outer realm and sort of forget the inner realm and say, oh, that is something to do with religion and spirituality. It's a matter of integration, and I feel that is what ancient people were able to do, and that is the message, perhaps, that is useful in the modern world, how to bring that ancient wisdom to actualization in the world today, how to bring the inner world in a practical way so that it helps the outer challenges that we are all facing. And I know, for me, my own personal experience, the inner world has allowed me to do so much that if I had not been in touch with this other realm that some people think is far removed from reality, that I wouldn't have been able to achieve all the things that I have been able to do in the last 20, 30 years.
And so what I hear is it's opening, it's a real opening, and it is this continuity and contactfulness, and you know, some of these first traditions and earlier traditions have a sense of integration of that in and out. And that was clear in some of your books that I've read, Tony, that the process in this inner realm in concert with the outer realm had the physical dimension to it. It was body, it was mind, and it was heart. It just wasn't one or the other as well. It was even the inner side had a sense of integration to it.
Exactly.
Tony, we've got one more segment here, and let's pick up on this. What it feels to me where we're actually going in this conversation in some ways is what I refer to often as living leadership, and that is this living dynamism and creative universal intelligence, this flow of essence and presence that comes through being lived in the world. But let's make sure we have an adequate time to bring some closure to this week. Let's take our final break here, folks. Come back in a moment. Last segment, Tony Samara. Join us. Come back. Thanks.
Up-to-date business and financial news. Call now and get the financial information you need. 866-472-5790. 866-472-5790. The experts are here. Voice America Business Network.
Tired of the government squandering your tax dollars on bailouts and overpaid bureaucrats? On Free Markets with Dr. Mike Beitler, Mike Beitler and his guests explain why big government regulations are the problem and innovative businesses and free markets are the solution. Listen to Free Markets with Dr. Mike Beitler Thursday mornings at 10 a.m. Eastern Time, 7 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Business Network.
Think of the world 50 years ago. Now think of this same world and how it'll be 50 years from now. Did you know that if the world's population continues to grow at its current rate, our children and grandchildren will only have 25% of the resources per capita that our parents and grandparents had? We must preserve the foundation of a quality standard of living. That foundation starts with Go Green Radio. Join your host, Jill Buck, for Go Green Radio every Friday at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Voice America.
Voice America Business Network, the bottom line in business.
You're listening to Zoom Leadership with your host, John Schmidt. For more information about John and our program, visit avastoneconsulting.com. That's A-V-A-S-T-O-N-E consulting.com. Now, back to Zoomed Leadership.
Okay, back on our segment today, Wisdom and Leadership, and I think we're then becoming, flowing into this nature of living leadership, where our own realization, the depth of our interior recognition, the flow and living presence that we are, then becomes manifest in this creative dynamism and becomes part and parcel with the livingness in the world, and we become just an actor and living on the stage into the world amidst this huge dynamism. And Tony, speak a little bit more to that, because this living leadership has some elements that really infuse it with the life and the joy and the richness. And I wonder if you could speak a little bit more about just this living leadership from your standpoint.
Yes, I believe we all have dreams, and I hope, you know, that we all can live our dreams and not just have the dreams as a future hope. And the way to live one's dream, I feel, is to be in touch with the heart. And the heart is such an amazing space. It's the space that creates a feeling that the dream is real. And, you know, it's more than just emotions or emotional aspect of yourself. The heart is very much connected to the love and to the understanding of how everything functions, how everything is interconnected. And so it goes beyond the personal. It's not just an emotional, personal aspect of oneself. And when we have that sense of deep connection, when the heart speaks very strongly, I feel that it gives energy to the dream that we are here to, as human beings to manifest in the world. And I feel when we're in touch with our dream, that the power of that dream is a power that makes everything move in a very unique and beautiful way, and everything just falls into place. And I think that is what a leader does. They live their dream. They don't pretend or fulfill their ego needs or their needs to be this or that, but they actually live the reality of who they are, the dream that is the reason why they are who they are. And by living that dream, by being true and real to themselves, I feel that the sense of love and the sense of value in every moment, in every experience that the leader has, gives true power to life and inspires others to do the same. And then you create a sort of dynamic movement, because people feel that sense of realness, feel that sense of heart space or love or interconnectedness, and there is a sense of expansion. It's not just one person being a leader. The leader then inspires others to live their dream, and then there are many dreams that become true, and that creates an amazing sense of transformation and a sense of moving forward beyond the limits and the negativities that sometimes occupy so much of our time, so much of our precious time, because, you know, we're not here that long. Life moves forward very, very quickly. So it is really useful to value every moment by living one's dream now and not waiting for tomorrow.
Tony, that really speaks well. Last week I was talking about, as I opened the show with, about the leadership and the edge. And there's a lot of ways to look at an edge that begins sort of in a mechanical way. But you're describing to me that the heart and essence of leadership, and then that living leadership and the edge that emerges, that invites the possibility and the creative potential and the dynamism and the energy, comes out of the heart and the contactfulness in the heart. I think that's a wonderful way to reflect and to begin to get a sense of the importance of the interior realm and living leadership as fueled in many respects by the heart. And I'm wondering if you have some guidance or suggestions. I know we only have 5 minutes left on the show at most, about access, even more full and rich access for those here, for all of us, relative to attunement and opening and living in the heart.
I would say, you know, take a moment to write down or to be very clear about what is important, what is really valuable, what is your dream. Be aware, what is the dream about? What are you here to help manifest, help yourself manifest and help others understand? You know, when you're clear, it is much easier not to get lost in the confusion of others. And that is important for a leader to, you know, once you are aware of your dream, once you're clear of what you need to do, that you really put all 100% and more of your effort and time and strength to make that dream tangible, no matter what anyone says. Like Nelson Mandela, you know, he was in prison for so many years, and anyone could have, in that situation, could have given up, you know, and just imagined that the dream was impossible. But, you know, he believed that it was possible, despite being many, many years in a horrible situation. His dream was kept alive by the amount of energy that was put into the everyday belief in the dream. And I feel that is very important. Be clear. And when you're clear, don't give up. You know, just continue putting more and more energy into that clarity, no matter what anyone says, no matter what the world thinks. As long as what you're doing is creating a sense of harmony and deeper connection with the harmony that is around in the world, I feel that dreams always turn out to be real. So those are the two points that I would emphasize. Never to forget.
I think that's beautifully put, Tony, especially in a time when we have the structures and what we're living in the world as such strongly representative of the ego and the separation, and how important the dream is to the emergence of the potential that we feel and see and engage as leaders and humanity at large. Tony, how do people follow up with you and get some more information? How can you just invite people to your website? Can you review that again? I want to make sure people can continue this with you. It's such a rich conversation.
Yes, basically just going to www.tonysamara.org or typing in Tony Samara, and there are many, many interesting resources from YouTube to the website, which has many interesting suggestions from diet to meditations to practical everyday advices that people find very interesting to look at and to perhaps put into practice. Of course, there are the books that I've written, and that's available on Amazon.com or .co.uk. And yeah, it's a matter of putting into practice what we've spoken about. And I think from the practice, one sees that it's not just an idea. It becomes a unique experience and a real experience.
I think it does, and I think, Tony, I'd point our listeners to some of the resources you have available, and even Shaman's Wisdom, I think, is a good case in point of understanding some of the practices and some of the underpinnings to what can help flourish the contactfulness, that can flourish the body, that can flourish the heart and open the mind. I think the books are rich with that, and Shaman's Wisdom certainly is that. In our final moments here, Tony, I just invite a final thought for the day in the last perhaps minute or so.
Yes. I feel that humanity is here to create more beauty and more harmony. And it's difficult to understand this until we've gone through many, many interesting and powerful experiences. And once we see the world in a very clear way, I feel that it's important to be more compassionate, more loving, and more giving. And by doing that, we receive so much more than what we believe the material can give us.
Beautifully put, Tony. Thank you. And Tony, I invite you back. You're a welcome part of our conversation as often as you like here on Zoom. Delight to be with you today, and I think it's just been a rich continuity that you don't even have any idea about in terms of our conversation here today. Thank you so much, Tony. Been a delight to be with you.
Thank you.
Listeners, great to be back. We continue with sort of the evolution of the notion of living leadership, about leadership and the edge, even more about what we're talking about today, and understanding, as Tony has suggested here at our close, it is about understanding with clarity ourselves and the world and allowing that flow to manifest richly. That is the era of extraordinary change. That is the era of dynamism we're living into. It's a marvelous time amidst many of the challenges as well. Have a great week, folks. Again, Tony, thank you. We'll delight again in further conversation. As always, like to say, enjoy. Have a good week, folks. Bye-bye.
Thank you again for listening to Zoomed Leadership with host John Schmidt. Please be sure to join us again next Monday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Business Channel. And have a terrific week.